Rita wouldn't let me start the post-game show because she wanted to see a little Tyler Huntley action.
I did.
I want to watch him for a minute.
Yeah.
He put a nice ball down to Boykin on the sideline. Boykin didn't catch.
Yeah.
Didn't catch it. Would yell about that, but Boykin's made some catches recently. So
I'm not too upset about it. The game is clearly over.
Very much so.
And he did
have
a touchdown
today. Basically that
way
from kickoff today, Rita.
Yes, this is very true. Starting with the safety.
Basically that way. Yeah, outside of the interception, it has been lopsided. Project Game Day postgame show from the Chesapeake Employers Insurance Studio. I'm Glenn Clark. She's the NFL Chicks, Rita Hubbard. We are with you, brought to you by the U.S. Army. The Ravens are going to go ahead and tack on a little bit more. L.J. Fort gets... Oh, there's a flag. Maybe they're not going to tack on more. We'll see. But they've rolled today. And this is the story, Reed. I was talking about this at halftime. You get to a certain point in the season where, like, one team clearly has a lot to play for. The other team not only has nothing to act tangibly play for, but they, like, know the coach is going to be fired. The quarterback's not even on the team. It's going to be here next. There's just nothing that has them engaged in what's going on. And people try to say things like, well, guys are playing for their jobs. Well, they kind of realize, like, it doesn't matter. Like, nothing that happens the next 3 weeks is changing the fact that the Jaguars have to go a completely different direction as a franchise. Like, that's just the reality of the circumstances.
I literally saw, heard, while the broadcast was going on, James Lofton and the
Andrew Catalan.
Yeah, the play-by-play guy were talking, and they were saying that Miles Jack had said that he was going to be fighting for Doug Marrone at the end of the season. And look, right? Like,
maybe they like Doug Marrone.
At the end of the day, they don't have a – I know people like Gardner Minshew.
NFL quarterback.
Listen, I ain't even going that far, Glenn. Maybe he can back somebody up somewhere.
But you know what I mean? He's not an NFL starter. When I say that, I'm not –
He's not a starter, and right. I want us to stop pretending that he is. And, yes, he made some really good throws in the pocket today, and he was getting jacked up in the process, and he stood there and took it. But, ultimately, the Jags need somebody with a little bit more star power than Gardner Minshew.
They got to find a quarterback for the future, clearly.
Yeah.
And so this was kind of, to me, this was always going to happen. Did I know it was going to be 40-7? No, I needed to know some things from the Ravens. And, look, there were still some things that concerned me today. The defense to start the second half.
Once again.
Two drives. I mean, the way it turned with the interception, was it a fumble? It was a fumble. Unique Ngakoue forced a fumble. Until the turnover on that second drive, they were being gashed for two straight drives to start the second half. That is concerning, of course. Now, on the whole, the defense played well today, but they played well against no offense, Gardner Minshew and the Jacksonville Jaguars.
But this makes the fourth time in eight games. Well, I'm sorry, this does not. But four times in the last eight games, the Ravens have given up 20-plus points in the second half.
There's something,
there's a problem.
There's a second-half issue with this defense.
There's a second-half issue.
There's no getting around that, clearly.
And I wasn't here with you last week, obviously, for the Browns game, right? But I'm sure that you and KZ talked about how this worked. There's no way you're up, 28-14, I believe, to start that game. And then it becomes some type of seesaw match. It makes no sense to me why you got – and honestly, I thought going into the second quarter of that game, I thought that Wink Martindale had adjusted really well. I thought that they were playing really well from a defensive perspective.
Okay.
And then some type of way the wheels started to fall off. This team is not as talented as Cleveland, so you didn't have the consistency of the falling off. But if you want to make the playoffs and you start getting to a team that is good on offense, how are you supposed to do this? How are you supposed to be a very good team, a well-rounded team, when you have these second-half hiccups?
It's a problem.
There's no question.
It's a problem. It's a problem. That concerned you today.
Yes.
Lamar played quite well, but not, the throws were still a little off.
The good thing, though, Glenn, is that Lamar feels that he has gone back to some traditional way of playing football that has been successful for him. And so those plays can... I don't want to say negate, because I think that we should be having these conversations about those missed throws. However, his talent supersedes the mistakes that he makes.
I disagree with that. Yeah.
And I think that now going back to, it appears that they're playing a lot of some 2019 type of play with Lamar.
You know what was weird, Rita? Is I felt like that was my takeaway on Monday night. Like my big, the
right.
big thing to me on Monday night.
We talked about that on Twitter.
Was like this is what you're supposed to be doing.
I agree.
I didn't feel quite the same way today. Like, for example, on the interception, on the first drive, it wasn't there. There was nothing. There was nothing there
but,
at all.
But after that, though, it went back
and that's
to
true.
What it was.
But, like, that was the spot where I say, like, you are Lamar Jackson. When it's not there, run.
Yeah.
You're one of one.
Yeah.
There ain't nobody that can do this.
I agree.
Go do it. Don't try.
He tried it. He failed. And guess what? He reverted back really quickly
right.
to being the guy that he normally is.
It doesn't look like the Ravens are going to get any help today as the Colts are about to finish off the Texans. The Dolphins have now taken a 2-score lead over the Patriots. So, unfortunately, the Ravens will continue to need just the smallest amount of help going into the final 2 weeks of the season for somebody to get a defeat. Before this is all said and over, the Colts and the Dolphins. The Dolphins have a couple of tricky games left. They got the Raiders and the Bills. Now, obviously, we won't know how much the Bills are invested.
The Raiders will still be fighting. The Bills will not.
Probably, like, you know, we talked about this, you and I, off the air. They've already locked up the division, and they're not going to get back into the race for the bye.
Yeah.
So the most likely scenario will be that they will choose to take Week 17 off. Now, in the weird scenario where somehow there's something that there's maybe still at stake, like trying to get the 2 seed, maybe they try a little bit, but it's coaches in recent history, unless you're playing for a bye, have decided that it is more valuable to try to use Week 17 as a bye than it is to try to play to potentially host a, you know, a second round game or something like that.
Yeah.
They've prioritized getting some rest in Week 17. So that's the bad news for the Ravens. If you're counting on that Bills game as being the one that could trip up the Dolphins, it's just not likely that the Bills are going to have any particular reason why they want to throw Josh Allen out there in Week 17.
Right.
And
create your own bye week because, you, like you said, there's only one team that's going to get it. And so there's
And
that.
Frankly, Stephon Diggs has already broken every possible record that he could break this season. Yeah. Must be nice to go out and get a wide receiver. What a thought. What a thought going out and get a wide receiver. The only thing that I think you can judge right now, Rita, the Project Game Day postgame show brought to you by the U.S. Army, and I'm getting the sense that most of you don't really have a lot to say. We'll get to your comments. If you got them, we'll get to them. I'm just getting the sense that there's not a whole lot to say about a bludgeoning over a bad football team in Week 15.
That should be happening, right?
Correct.
And let's say this. When we played...
By the way, it's certainly better than the alternative. Let's make that very clear.
It is better than the alternative. I mean, let's go back to what... first half of the season when the Ravens played the Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
Not a good football team.
No.
Not as bad as the Jaguars, but it doesn't matter. They're not a good football team. Weren't a good football team then, not a good football team now. And you allow them to come back in the second half.
And damn near tied it up.
2-point conversion is really what the difference was in that game.
Yep.
Now, with the playoffs at, you know, literally you're right outside the door of the playoffs, you do feel like there's a little bit more urgencies. And even that is despite the fact that you didn't have Calais Campbell today. You didn't
Correct.
Have Marcus Peters today.
Jimmy
Smith. You didn't have guys playing today because obviously they have some health issues.
Quite interesting that Mark Ingram was all the way to a
healthy scratch. Yeah.
Quite interesting that we've gotten all the way to that point.
Yeah.
And like, I know that a lot of people have been screaming about that. The other two backs have been better. And I haven't argued with that. I just was never offended by the idea that Mark Ingram was a guy that got a couple of carries. I thought that it had settled out the way it was supposed to. J.K. Dobbins, the featured back, Gus Edwards, number two. It never bothered me that there were also a few carries in there for Mark Ingram. It is remarkable that we got to the point where the Ravens are saying, nah, we're good, which is a statement, I think, in a little bit of a way. And I don't know how that – like, the only thing I would bring up about that, I don't know if there's a veteran on the team that's bothered by that. Like, I don't know if there's somebody who's tight with Mark Ingram who's on that roster like, yeah, you don't treat Mark Ingram that way. That's not – we don't do that to him.
I did not like it. I'm with you. I'm not against Mark Ingram getting any carries. I just don't think that he should be the starter anymore.
No, absolutely shouldn't be the primary or the feature back. But,
I
get that it's tough to, you know, make a roster on every Sunday, like especially when you're dealing with the secondary. You got to have a bunch of different guys up.
But I think that this would have been a good game for him because they are 32nd in run defense.
Right.
What was Mark Ingram going to do to ruin that for the Ravens?
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
I think a lot of people would say, well, if he's your third back and you didn't need him, then why wouldn't you make him inactive? To me, it's not about, like, I'm not personally offended by it at all because I don't care. But there is something within like football circles that you don't treat veteran players that way.
Yeah.
Like, veteran players don't get healthy scratches. If you're going to make somebody a healthy scratch, you just go ahead and release them and let them sign somewhere else if they have an opportunity to play.
I think that we knew that from the beginning of the end of the draft, excuse me, when J.K. Dobbins was drafted.
Oh, this was going to be.
We knew that this was the end of Mark Ingram's time here with Baltimore, that essentially this is going to be his last season. It was a 3-year deal, correct? I believe that if he gets cut after this season, they literally lose nothing from a cap perspective. So the writing was on the wall from the beginning. I agree with the notion that you don't do veteran players that way. I don't think that Mark Ingram has done anything. He got hurt early in the season.
No, he's been a good dude, a good representative. He was very in the center when they were having all the conversations during the Black Lives Matter movement this summer. He was very much in the middle of all of that.
Yeah.
He has been
he's a good guy and a good player.
Right, a good soldier since he arrived here in Baltimore. And that's all I'm bringing up is that there is a possibility there's another veteran player on the roster who could see that happen and say, yo, that's not okay. That's not how we don't do things like that. I'm not all right with you treating my guy.
Yeah.
It's one thing for him to be the guy that's getting the least amount of carries. It's another thing to go as a veteran, and it's a guy who's accomplished a lot in the NFL, to go through kind of the public embarrassment of being left as a healthy scratch.
Yeah, I don't care for it.
Yeah, it's a rough look. And again, I'm not trying to overdramatize it. I get it. Like, it's tough to put together a roster. And the problem for guys, if you're not a starter and you don't have a special teams role,
That's it.
That's where you
are. Especially on this team. Yeah.
But like at that point, if he's going to be a healthy scratch, and I mean this, like you have to have that conversation with him where you say, Mark, this is where we're at. You're going to be a healthy scratch. Do you want to be here? The other option is we can release you if there's somewhere else that would give you the opportunity to play. Like, that's what veterans would ask you to show them that type of deference.
And look, we don't know if that's happened, right? We don't know if that conversation has
happened. 100% fair, right?
I would hope.
Also, by the way, it's possible it did, and Mark Ingram said, no, this is my team. These are my guys. What happens if J.K. gets hurt?
Yep. You know? There's a part of that too, right? Like, if you've seen the behind the scenes from last week's game, he was still the biggest cheerleader of this football team. He still has one of the motivators of this football team. So it's very possible that conversation happened, and then he was like, "No, I still want to ride this out until the end because I came here wanting to play for a championship, and I believe that I'll still have the opportunity to participate."
100%. It's totally plausible that's the way that everything went.
It's just as weird how it happened today.
It's just sort of a weird thing that I think is deserving of a small amount of conversation or day where the Ravens are literally winning a football game 40-14 and there's not a whole lot loud else to talk about.
Really,
is the idea that
you
just typically don't treat veteran players that way. You typically show them a little bit more deference than making them a healthy scratch.
Yeah.
It is a really there's not a whole lot that's worse for a veteran NFL player than to have to stand there in your street clothes when you're completely healthy and ready to go on a Sunday. That's a tough, tough thing for a veteran player and a guy who's done nothing wrong.
Yep.
Let's make that it's one thing if like you just stink
at
this point.
And that literally
is
what happened.
Right, and these other two dudes are killing it. You know what
sounds
I mean?
Like, that sounds familiar.
It happens.
Familiar story.
It happens.
We learned last year.
Right, it happens. Like, no, you know. This is the way the league goes, but it's just a tough look and tough feel for a veteran player to be treated that way. Project Game Day post-game show after the Ravens roll today over the Jaguars is also brought to you by M&T Bank. M&T Bank is giving you the chance to show off your fandom and your Ravens swag and test your Ravens trivia knowledge in the M&T Bank Hunt for Purple Scavenger Hunt. Visit huntforpurple.com for the opportunity to win some awesome prizes. I believe this week is Trivia Week. I'm going to play that at some point during the show. Speaking of which, Rita, I'm going to give away my topic for tomorrow on the program. I want to know, and I've tried to ask this a few ways. The Ravens now have won 3 in a row. We all believe they're going to win 5 in a row, right? Like, we all are of the belief that they're going to take care of business against the Giants and again against the Bengals. Do you feel like the Ravens are trending towards a place where going into the postseason, provided they make it, right, you believe they can be a viable Super Bowl contender again?
Yes.
Okay. Talk to me about it.
This season is, well, not this season, but the past few weeks and how it's played out seems very reminiscent to me of 2012, particularly that 4th and 29 play and the Browns game. the which, you know, we all make the jokes about the pool game, but him, like, literally coming out.
It's one of the most dramatic moments in Ravens history.
Him coming out of the locker room, you know, throwing a touchdown that they so needed at that moment.
The season was on the line in that moment.
So the season was on the line in 2012 as well. I always – here's the parallels here, Glenn, because 2011 was a better team to me. 2012 had a lot of issues.
It's insane.
But momentum, coaching, and the players' ability to push through, in my opinion, were reasons why the Ravens won the Super Bowl. 2019, we obviously know, was a way better team than 2020, right? Did not capitalize off of that. 2020 isn't as talented, same thing, right? But they had a moment that they had to arise from, and they did just that. So, you know, if somehow the Ravens find a way to make themselves, to insert themselves in the playoffs, whether, you know, Miami or Indianapolis finds a way to get out of this, I think that they are a very dangerous football team if they're healthy, particularly on defense. Because you need Calais Campbell, you need Jimmy Smith, you need Marcus Peters. Mm-hmm. The guys that didn't play today, you need...
Like when you play the real teams,
when you play the real teams, right? So I do think that if they go back to what they are, what they were fundamentally, what they're good at, and stop trying to push it, I do believe that they can win, number one, a playoff game, and that they can immediately become a problem for the other teams.
Well, you immediately salivate over the idea of another Steelers game, right? Like,
that needs to happen.
You're telling me, if somehow the Steelers are the 2 seed, you're dying to be the 7 seed. You have no interest in being the 6 and facing Buffalo in the first week. You're desperately looking for. I mean, not saying that you couldn't beat them, but you
because Buffalo got defensive problems.
Far rather play Pittsburgh than Buffalo.
This is why I think that they would be a problem, because the teams that are essential, the teams that appear to make the playoffs got issues on defense. Buffalo has an issue on defense. Tennessee.
Well, Tennessee definitely
has
definitely
issues on defense.
Stands out.
Whether you look, the Steelers defense, however you view them, it doesn't matter. The Ravens have exposed them not once twice.
I think the way that I would say it, really, when I think about this question, I'm going to talk about this. It's probably going to be what my column is going to be about this week at PressBoxOnline.com. As much as anybody is a threat. When we identified the biggest difference between what you're talking about was in 2012, there wasn't a Kansas City Chiefs, right? There was no Patrick Mahomes waiting for you.
New England wasn't there?
They were there, but that wasn't this. This is
They were a dynasty already, Glenn.
That was still before they had won the next couple of Super Bowls.
They literally had won three prior, and they had a 2007
That was 5 years before that.
Me and you're not going to agree on that, because England was completely dominant still.
They were the best team in the conference. There's no doubt about that. But it's not comparable to Patrick effing Mahomes and that Chiefs offense, which scores
them doing different things, fine. But that team was still very dominant because they had a Hall of Fame coach and a Hall of Fame quarterback, flat out.
Nobody's debating that. I'm saying that what they did. What they did at that point made them more beatable in general, because it wasn't just we're going to go out and do things at will. The Kansas City Chiefs go out and do whatever they want to do at will. At will, they go out and do it. We are overly praising teams for their ability to just be competitive with the Kansas City Chiefs, because we think they are such an overwhelming sort of monarch when it comes to the way that they're playing football at the moment. Not to say they're unbeatable. I mean,
yeah,
they're
because
very clear.
They barely beat Denver. They did 100%. Lose to the Raiders,
and they didn't look all that impressive against Miami either. I'm not trying to trying to rewrite history. I'm not trying to rewrite history and say that they haven't. But this is how much we hold them in that esteem. We don't think when somebody competes with them, we treat it as though it's breaking news, right? Like, holy crap, this team stayed with the Kansas City Chiefs, because we think that much of this Kansas City Chiefs team. Because of that, they're elevated above everybody else in the AFC, right? There's a 1, and then there's everybody else. And right now, it's Buffalo, who's 2. Like, at the moment, they have earned that. They're the second-best team in the AFC at the moment. Doesn't mean that they're not beatable. Doesn't mean that they don't have problems. They can't run the ball for at all. They don't even try to run the ball because they know they can't run the ball. But they're clearly the number two team in the AFC at the moment. I'm fine with that. I think what you're saying and the way that I feel is that outside of that, none of these other teams appear to be all that great. You got a bunch of other, you know.
And again, we can sit here and talk about like how the Chiefs have shown some weaknesses. They're the strongest team in the National Football
League. It's tougher for me to make that argument specifically because the Ravens the last two times have gotten their brains beat in.
Well, I want to disagree with that. Week two or three, when this happened, the second half, the defense did very well. The offense just decided that they didn't want to show up.
I think they had a bad game plan from the start. I don't disagree with that.
So you would hope that they learned from that.
I would like to hope that, but they still got their brains beat in, right?
I guess the point that I'm making
it's
now,
a tougher sell for me to believe the Ravens are ready to beat the Chiefs, right? But it's not a tougher sell for me to believe the Ravens are ready to go beat the Titans or the Steelers or the Colts, who they already beat this season, right? Like, I can buy that, and then I can buy that things happen. I can buy into your theory, right, that either you build towards being the team that can beat the Chiefs or you build toward the team that can be waiting there if somebody else were to beat the Chiefs somehow, right? One or the other. I can buy into your theory. It has to require for me, I kind of have to see you do it against somebody good in the postseason, right? Like, I need to see that. Today, it's hard for me to believe in the Ravens as being a Super Bowl contender, but that can change the moment they get a opportunity in week one of the playoffs and face Pittsburgh or face Buffalo or face, I guess somehow it could still be Tennessee or Indianapolis. I mean, Indianapolis, maybe not. It wouldn't do quite as much for me because it's so hard for me to envision a scenario where they're at Super Bowl. But you go beat one of those teams on the road in week one, and all of a sudden, I'm in, right?
I think that they have the capability to beat. Like, I stand by the fact that I think that if Lamar plays the second Steelers game, and yes, I know Lamar played horribly the first game. I'm very well aware of that. But I think that if they play that game, if he plays in that game, and they didn't have, you know, the situation with the COVID, I think that they win that game. I don't think that the Steelers, you know, it does help that this is a team that's in your division. You know them very well.
Yep.
We
all know they should have beaten the Steelers the first.
Well, the Steelers have
they outplayed the Steelers the first game.
They did. They did. Turnovers
they just lost
literally
because Lamar made two really unthinkable. You know,
no, he had four turnovers, I believe.
But two of them that were particularly like just cannot ever happen
and then,
in a
like,
million
and, and
years.
Then, and ironically, a lot of those play, a couple of them were like in the red zone too, right? So it's like, you know, you look at that and you say, okay, you see what happens. And then in the second game, apparently, you know, they exposed some things that other teams started to see and allow themselves to build on. But I think a lot of us have said this all year that we just believe that although their record says that they are this team, we don't visually see them to be what their record displays them
I
to
think
be.
They're at best the fourth best team in the AFC.
I agree with that.
At best. And I can make an argument they're not even that, right?
I agree with that.
Like, but there's no world. I mean, we saw a week ago they went up against Buffalo, and while it took a little bit, Buffalo made it very clear there is a separation between those two teams. That they are not evenly matched teams. Buffalo is a better football team than the Pittsburgh Steelers are at the moment, right? And again, this is the NFL. Crazy things happen. It's not a week-to-week league. You can play a certain way. I'm not trying to pretend like it's a guarantee that means the Steelers can't make a run or something along those lines. But I buy into the idea they can be.
That's all I'm saying is that. So do I. I'm not guaranteeing anything by any means, right? Like, I believe that they could potentially build something here that could be really a problem if somehow they find their way into the playoffs. And a lot of it, I think, has to do with the fact that the opponents that they would be playing aren't that great on defense. That is what I'm going based off of.
And by the way, of all those units, the Steelers probably have the best defense, you don't.
Yes. But
you've already seen your ability to be able to do things against that defense.
But as great as Kansas City is offensively, their defense, isn't.
It probably gets more disrespect than it deserves. Their defense is
middle of the pack.
And that's all they need to be, right?
Because the people on the other side is really good.
I think we like to say things like they have a trash defense
or something like that.
I'm not saying you did. I'm not looking. This is not a this is a royal we, right?
I'm just simply saying that the guys that they would be playing aren't upper echelon defenses. That's just all the point that I'm trying to make here.
Right.
So that in within itself, and the fact that the Ravens, I believe, have scored more than 30 points the last 4 weeks, gives them a potential advantage in three that
weeks.
Regard. Is it three?
Three.
Well, today makes four, right?
No, because it's Jacksonville, Cleveland, and Dallas. You can't include. The week before that was the Pittsburgh
game.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. 3 weeks in a row.
Yep.
So let's say that trend continues, and they continue to trend up from a numbers, from a scoring perspective. Well, at the very least, it means that you're able to stay in the game. And if you're able to do that, anything can happen. That's how I see it. That's exactly how I see it. You're a turnover away, or, you know, a touchdown at the end of the game away from pulling out a football game. And that's all you want. You want the opportunity to keep it close so then you can be in a position to win a football game. That's what I'm saying, why I think that it's very possible that they could be on a run, because they are scoring high right now. They are playing good offense, even though we still see some things in Lamar's game that we know he can improve in. They're still finding ways to score points.
And they've reminded us they can run the ball.
Yes.
Like they can run the ball. They can do it.
Yeah.
If they choose to do it, they can do it. Just they should choose to do it a lot.
Right.
That's the way it should be.
You know, you're kind of good at it.
Yeah, really good at
Except
it.
Except, you know, I hate that outside stuff, right? And
I know.
It.
I know.
They did it.
I, you know what? I thought of you immediately. There was one play in particular.
Like,
they tried
stop
to get
it.
Him. Yep. I thought of you immediately. Daryl, still, we're down so many players, though. We need all the players that might make a difference. And then Rita said that. Like, that, you know, you're right, Daryl, of course. They've got to get. If this team can both be playing well and getting healthy as they can be. You know, we're hoping that Tyree Phillips, first of all, I hope he doesn't actually have a concussion, but if he does, you hope that that's something that doesn't linger a little bit. You don't want to keep playing musical chairs in the offensive line as you've had to done since both Phillips and Stanley went down. Obviously, you got Phillips back. Stanley, you're not getting back. You've had to go through a lot. You don't have a second tight end. That's a really...
Yeah, who's the Tomlinson man?
I mean, like,
who's that?
It's some guy, you know what I mean? Like, I don't think he's related to LaDainian. I don't think so. I don't think there's a relation there.
Luke Wilson ain't
here no more. Oh. He's gone. You don't have a second tight end on the roster.
Right.
That's a little, like, I'm worried about that. But yet they've been able to run the ball without it. And our biggest concern to start the season was their inability to run the ball when they didn't have three tight ends. Today they didn't have two tight ends, and they were still largely able to run the ball. That's a positive.
I know we real hard on G. Roman a lot of times, but the last couple weeks his run schemes have been very good, and I think we have to give people their flowers
when they
deserve
them.
That's
fair. Look, I still have some questions about certain things, but
okay,
you know,
I'm just saying.
I'm with you.
The past couple weeks his run schemes have been very good, and
particularly considering the circumstances, considering what you're working
the
with. Yeah, 100%.
I'm going to give him his props on that.
No, you're not wrong to. You're not wrong to in any way. All right, I want to get more of your guys' thoughts about that. Do you buy into the idea that the Ravens could be trending towards being a Super Bowl contender again? We all thought they were when the season began, and then everything just went to hell. Now, do you buy into the idea that the trend could be moving towards them being a Super Bowl contender again by the time they were to get to the postseason, which, again, they still have work to do and need help in order for that to occur? Like, there is the doomsday scenario where they do everything there right, and it just doesn't happen. But let's not think too much about that. If they get in, are you buying into that? We'll talk more about it. I need just a minute here to tell everybody about our great sponsors. We're in the Chesapeake Employers Insurance studio of PressBox. She's Rita. I'm Glenn. Ravens win going away today over the Jaguars. This is the Project Game Day postgame show.
Tired of online shopping, takeout food, and vacations by car? Then join the COVID-19 plasma trials, sponsored by Johns Hopkins University. You could receive plasma that contains antibodies from recovered COVID-19 patients. So if you or a loved one has just tested positive, participating in the trial could help you fight it. Join today at covidplasmatrial.org so we can all get back to boutique stores, jet setting, and not having to eat out of a cardboard box. covidplasmatrial.org. The fight starts here.
Glory Days Grill Fall Winter Seasonal Menu is now available for dine-in, dine-out, on the patio, or to-go. It's a new season, so enjoy new flavors. Try their new shrimp appetizers, homemade meatloaf, impossible cheesesteaks, and more. They're open from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. every day. Visit GloryDaysGrill.com for a location near you. From the Glory Days Grill family, stay healthy and positive during this challenging time in our community.
Looking to get one up on the competition? Supercharge your computer skills. CCBC has classes at all levels from beginner to expert coder. Explore Microsoft Office, gaming, or even ethical hacker. Maybe hardware is your gig. Become A-plus certified. All tuition free if you qualify. Call 443-840-4700 or visit ccbcmd.edu/quickreg.
With Wise Market's lowest price guarantee, we guarantee the lowest price in the area. If a local competitor advertises any of our tagged lowest price guarantee items at a lower price, we'll give you double the difference with purchase.
Eat better, spend less, that's Wise.
Calling all Ravens fans. Are you always casually rocking purple no matter what day of the week it is? Are you a Ravens trivia master? Well, at M&T Bank, we're big fans of the Ravens flock, and our purple pride runs deep. That's why we're giving you the chance to show off your Ravens flock fandom and test your Ravens trivia knowledge in the M&T Bank Hunt for Purple Scavenger Hunt. Make sure you don't miss out. Visit huntforpurple.com for the opportunity to win some awesome prizes. That's the M&T Bank Hunt for Purple Scavenger Hunt, huntforpurple.com.
If you're looking to make an impact, there's no better place to do that than the U.S. Army. Whether your goal is to fight and cure deadly diseases, develop technologies, or seek adventures across the globe, the Army is where all of that can happen, and so much more. The Army is a team of a million individuals working together to take on the most complex problems in the nation and the world, and to win. Ask yourself, what's your warrior? Go to army.com/Baltimore to find out. To learn more, contact your local Army recruiter and find us on social media at U.S. Army Baltimore.
All right, back in here on the Project Game Day postgame show. Did not see an update. I mean, Tyree Phillips is the only thing we're worried about. And again, we don't think it was like a serious injury, so I don't know that we're going to get any sort of update on that whatsoever for a couple of days. And you just hope the best there. It's a real bummer that he got hurt. Because, God, it was, like, such a fun...
I was just the craziest play. I was like, what is happening right now? It just happened so fast.
Why would he... Like, all I want to be able to do is just enjoy that for a little while.
We love the linemen.
We were wilding
hilarious.
In the studio.
That
we
was
were
hilarious.
Losing our damn minds. And, of course, he had to go and get hurt. So, it's like, sucked the joy out of the moment.
It did. Because I'm too busy still laughing. They're like, oh, he's still down. I'm like, oh, it's not funny no more.
Right, right.
You know?
Right. A couple things people wanted to know about. What did you think about Gus Edwards running deep? Should they be throwing him the ball more often?
Hey, man. I was like, give Gus the ball.
I mean, that was wild. It was what you and I were talking about. The only disappointment, J.K. Dobbins is so good.
Yep.
The only disappointment is that in no way is he involved as a pass catcher, right? And as I said, they threw the ball to him two times a game during his college career. It was not a significant part of what he did. Does that mean he can't do it? No, I don't know. After the draft, I tried talking to a ton of people about it, and they were like, yeah, we just don't really know. Like, we've seen him do it a little bit. It's just not a significant part of his game is being a pass catcher. It's the one thing right now that's like the difference between him being good and being otherworldly special, right? Like, unless you're Derrick Henry, unless you're that type of back, to be a great back in the NFL at this point, you've got to be the type that can split out wide, be a pass catcher that can be deceptive in the way that you're being used. That's the biggest thing, and I just don't know. I don't know because we haven't seen it from J.K. Dobbins. Now, everything about his athleticism would tell you
he
sure as hell should be capable of being that guy, right? Like, he checks every box other than you actually seeing him do it. That's the only thing that's sort of missing when it comes to J.K. Dobbins. But damn, man, Gus Edwards
and look,
racing downfield.
I think it was Tori that tweeted a couple of days ago about Gus, about how, you know, somebody should be picking him up.
I saw that tweet.
Give him a lot
just
of
sort
money.
Of saying, like, he should be a feature back
feature
somewhere.
Back.
Yeah.
And first of all, he's going to be a restricted free agent. So give up that second.
Yeah, I mean.
Give up that second if you really want.
No, I think the Ravens will prioritize.
But that's what I was getting ready to say. It appears that after the season, Ingram is probably going to be gone.
Yep.
There is no reason why the Ravens should allow Gus Edwards to be on the market to do anything.
I think that they value what it
is
that he brings.
Absolutely.
I absolutely believe that they think that he is important And look, there are games where you would say this should just kind of be a Gus game, right? Like, no, if J.K. Dobbins is really good, but it's just, this is just working. This is working. Yep. Don't go away from it.
Yep.
And if Gus Edwards has more to offer as a pass catcher, right?
Hey,
like,
take it.
My God, man. Like, we maybe have disrespected Gus Edwards, right? Like, in just because we've always said the same thing. He's really good at running forward and holding on to the – that's what we say about Gus Edwards. He does two things. He runs forward. He holds on to the football, right? Like, that's what we've known Gus Edwards to be. And we haven't said it in a negative way. We haven't said it to the detriment of other things he might be capable of doing. It's just all he's ever done. Run forward, run hard, hold on to the football. If there's another aspect to his game that we just haven't been able to see because it's not how they've been using him
– right.
Let's see it, man. Like, by all means, I'm living for some more Gus Edwards.
Let's open it up.
Dude has been nothing but a hell of a football player since he arrived moment one. So I'm living for a little more Gus. Do you want to bring up the fact that Marlon Humphrey struggled again today? That's from Dan. Struggled? I don't know if I want to say he struggled today. Like, I know he gave up the touchdown late, but for God's sakes, I mean,
the game is over.
40-7 at that point.
The game is
like,
over.
Really? I'm not going to.
Listen, and if Marlon Humphrey took a mental health day today and just was driving in cruise control,
somebody will point out, he has not quite been the same guy since COVID. Like, before COVID, he was arguably the defensive player of the year in the NFL.
He was.
Right? Like, I mean, there's a lot of candidates, so I don't know. But, like, he was definitely in the conversation to be the defensive player of the year. We've still seen the punch post-COVID.
Absolutely.
Like, obviously on Monday night, we saw a lot of the punch. But we haven't seen the same guy downfield that we were seeing pre-COVID. So I'll acknowledge that. Like, it's not a problem. I'm not worried about Marlon Humphrey. He was playing at such an insanely high level that even not quite being at that level is still pretty effing good.
I agree.
I'm not worried about Marlon Humphrey. I'm just not. I'm not worried about Marlon Humphrey. There's things I'm worried about. And also, you know, like, I'm worried about getting the guys on the field that haven't been on the field. There's things I'm genuinely worried about. Marlon Humphrey's not among them.
Yeah.
Like, not in any way. And from, oh, man, I already lost it. I'm sorry. I had another one that I was going to get to. All right, back to Daryl. I believe only if they get healthy, then I believe we can make a run, especially on the defensive side of the ball. Yeah, I mean, we're in agreement.
And you would hope that they find a way to come at the right time to do that. And, you know, I don't know if those guys need to be off for another week or whatever. I mean, luckily for them, the schedule is soft, so they could, you know. But I don't want to use soft, like, too loosely, because the Giants still are contending for
it. Might
NFC
be better without
East
Daniel Jones than Zyga. They were with him. They might be better off to be playing Colt McCoy, oddly. Seems like a weird world, right? Like, what a weird world.
Colt McCoy, is a smart football player.
He's a gamer, you know. Like,
he's not
particularly good, but he's...
That's why I'm saying, but I think he's a little smart. He doesn't have the arm strength. He's never been a guy that could, like, can sling it, right?
Right.
But he's what got him to the National Football League coming out of Texas is that he was a smart football player. So, I mean, sometimes being smart gets you jobs.
And unfortunately, the only thing that Daniel Jones has really showed us is that he can run. That's about the only real thing that we've seen.
I'm a little bit more concerned, like you said, with Colt McCoy.
Managing a game playing to their defense, the whole deal.
As opposed to Daniel Jones.
That's more of a threat. I tend to agree with that.
Is he going to play next week?
I mean,
I would like Daniel Jones to play.
I'm with you. I would prefer for Daniel Jones to be playing. We will see how that plays out this week. Project Game Day postgame show from the Chesapeake Employers Insurance Studio, also brought to you by Wise Markets. So that's next Sunday, Ravens Giants. Rita's going to be back here with me for Project Game Day next Sunday. In the meantime, Merry Christmas. Have a wonderful, I know it sucks, I know. It's just a terrible, terrible, terrible year for everything.
I am used to being alone, and I'm used to seeing my parents, and that essentially is it. So, wow, I know you guys, you know, whatever you decide to do, I don't do anything. I don't go anywhere, you know. I've just become
Your son
accustomed.
Spent Christmas with you?
He doesn't live with me. He's grown.
Yeah.
I have a grown-up as a son.
But does he, like... Does he come see you for Christmas?
I'm sure he'll stop by. Right?
All right. So that's not so bad.
You know, I'm just the dinners and all of that other stuff. Obviously, we can't do those things, but ultimately, I'm just like, I'm already like looking for, like, please 2021 be better. Oh, you know?
Yo.
So.
By all means. But yeah. Enjoy it as much as
you can.
Yes,
so enjoy it at Christmas as much as you possibly can.
Be safe.
Yes.
The whole deal. We're going to have a short week this week. I'm going to be with you Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday of this week. Then we're going to take a couple days off to spend some time with our families as well on Glenn Clark Radio. Of course, the Gridiron Gals podcast.
Yes.
And at the NFL Chick on Twitter is where you find Rita. I'm at Glenn Clark Radio on Twitter. And again, tomorrow morning, 10 a.m., back here for GCR. Ravens win comfortably today, 40-14 over the Jaguars. Now they just need to keep it going and hope for some help moving forward. This has been the Project Game Day Postgame Show. Merry Christmas. We'll see you next Sunday.